Are you getting the point? Now, there's a reason why I'm building these things, because there's something that you must understand. I said something about authority. A man came to Jesus Christ. He said, the centurion. He said, speak the word and my servant will be what? Healed. He said, you don't have to come to my house. Then this was the explanation he gave Jesus Christ. He said, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. That is, I'm also a man over authority. You get what I'm trying to say? He said, I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to that one, come, and he comes. Now, the man understood authority. And for one reason or the other, he understood that Jesus had authority over sickness. And that he, maybe because of his training, it's possible. Now, listen to me. This man may have been in the occult. Look, the guy was a Roman big man. They worshipped all kinds of gods in that place. He knew what some Jews didn't understand. That there is no distance in the realm of the spirit. Do you understand my point? So just so Jesus Christ simply that, you don't have to come to my house. You can do it right here. So the man understood that spiritually there is no gap in the realm of the spirit. So he said, Jesus, if you cause the sickness, the sickness will die. So speak the word and my servant who's far away from here will be healed. Now, please, get what I'm going to say. The man understood spiritual things. That was why he could have that amount of faith in his heart. Are you getting what I'm going to say? You understand that point here? Now, this is what Paul now said. He said, if you are risen with Christ, and you know I said something earlier? He said in Galatians that if walk by the Spirit, he said if we live by the Spirit, we ought also to do what? Walk by the Spirit. Listen, it's your perception of spiritual realities, get me, that imparts great faith into your heart. I don't know whether you get that point. Now, another thing I want to say before I develop it further, listen to this. I said something at the beginning about people lose that. You have to be careful that what you learn don't slip away from you. Are you getting my point? Now, those days when we were in school. Now, listen to this. The first time I read Ken Hagin's book, Believer's Authority, I never had that depth of insight. A friend of mine was blaspheming in my presence. I walked out of where he was. I commanded him to shut up and came back inside. There and there, he stopped his blasphemy and started speaking words that were glorifying God. He's somebody I know well. I can give you his name. I read the book. This was 1989, SAP riots. Babangida sent us all home, threatened that we'll be home for 1 year. But they managed to persuade it. We came back after 5 months. I was a medical student then. So we're home. It was that period I got that book, and I read it in that season. This guy was blaspheming because he read Harold Robbins' book, one of Harold Robbins' books. Who said, he said, now he now knows the secret of preachers. The guy was talking and talking. I just got up from his house. I went to visit him in his own house. So I stepped out onto the balcony. They were living upstairs. I stepped out there. I rebuked the blaspheming spirit. And I commanded the guy to zip up his mouth. So I went back inside. To my amazement, you know the interesting part? God is very funny when he wants to make some points. The week before, I had been studying some things and God had been giving me understanding. This guy doesn't believe anything, yet he was sharing the revelations I just understood last week, as soon as I go back inside. I knew, listen, is Saul also amongst the prophets? Are you getting my point? Saul came there to come and kill David. I knew I had chased out a spirit, and the power of God that chased that blaspheming spirit, it took over his tongue. I was looking at this guy like, who taught you this? I didn't say anything, though. When I read that book also, now listen to this. My house, not the one I live in, I mean my parents' house, then where I was that 89. The house is close to the back. That is, there's a way the plot, all right? When the house was built, my father just virtually filled the compound with the house. Are you getting what I'm saying? So later on, they now bought half of the plot that was in front of it, thereby giving the house a relatively big frontage space. But the back is very small. That is, between the house and the fence at the back is quite small. Now, incidentally, the man behind also, that's the same problem in his own house. His house is also close to that particular fence. I don't know the kind of evil spirit that possessed them there. Those guys quarrel morning till night. The man had two wives. I don't know whether both of them are living in the house. So there's a wife and the children of the older wife. Whether the older wife is there or not, I don't know. But these guys, and the noise was so much. You can imagine your neighbors quarreling all the time. Now, the interesting part is that the room I was staying in, which was, to me, the coolest place in the afternoon in our house, the window was just facing the back. I slept there in the afternoon. I studied there. Now, I was there studying believers' authority. Then, while studying believers' authority, I suddenly had understanding that this their quarrel is not normal. There's an evil spirit. So, you know what I did? I just faced the house. I simply told that evil spirit that disturbing my sleep and my study to shut up till I leave that house. As God is my witness, who I said with all my heart, there was no noise from that house until I went back to school. No, are you following the point I'm making? You are getting what I'm going to say here. Now, what did I do? Let me tell you. All this prayer that you pray only after you have, the prayer is not effective until you raise your voice. Let me tell you the truth. It's because you don't have faith. There are voices raised because of passion. You won't even know you are raising your voice. There are voices raised like that. But the habit of shouting is a serious proof that people don't have faith. Are you getting my point? The day Jesus prayed out loud, he said it is so that they can hear. At the tomb of Lazarus, he said, "Father, I thank you because you hear me always." Say, you know, I'm just making all this noise. I want them to understand that you and I, you know, let me talk to you loudly. Do you follow my point? Let me shout so that all of them will hear. What he was saying is that I will have just coolly. Now, Jesus used to, you know how he used to raise the dead? He tapped the dead guy in the casket. Get up. Are you getting my point? That's how he used to do it. I'm bringing out something here. Because he was so sure that he would be obeyed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because he understood the realities of the spiritual realm. When I read that book, Believer's Authority, what he told me simply, which is one thing I want us to understand as believers, I said I was going to talk about authority briefly. Because, you know, it was, while meditating about this, I realized that there are things I do, people don't know why I do them. Like maybe we are talking on the radio and I shout very loudly. You know, to me it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything really. To me, it doesn't mean anything. But I didn't realize that many people hearing, to them, is a great matter. Like I say, why do you pray about witches? They are jobless people who can't hurt anybody. And I say that on air. Has any witches that think he has power, should come and kill me first. And I continue what I'm saying as if I have said nothing. You know, people who will dive under the bed when they hear that, Pastor Banky, we start praying for him. In the name of Jesus, God protect him. Why? Because I dare the witch on the air. They don't understand that that prayer is not necessary. Are you getting my point? Like there's one song we've been listening to in recent times. They quote a Yoruba proverb. They have this insect, you know, if you put fire outside, you know, insects come at night and start flying around it. So we call them Yoruba. There's a name we call them Yoruba language, all right? Which implies that they want to jam the fire. Say the one that thinks he can put out the candle, let him try. Those small insects. Yeah, he jammed the fire now. He said, it's yourself you will kill. He said, the egg that jams the rock, who go break? Now, you see, it's not a matter of great faith. I believe that egg that jams rock will not survive. You know, if as you are going, your egg drops. You don't try to catch it. You know it's broken. You know, like you're going, like you bought egg. It just comes out. Before it hits the floor, you know it's broken. You have great faith in the fact that it can't survive the impact. So if you declare that, I bought egg, they fell, they all broke. Somebody said, why didn't you check whether they really broke? He said, they hit the rock. Did you see them? No, I didn't see them. Are you sure they broke? Oga, why are you so sure? Why didn't you go and look whether they didn't break? He said, what is wrong with you? I said, egg. I didn't say iron. I said, egg. You know, that's what you'll be trying to shout to the person. And for information, it wasn't boiled. Oga said, it doesn't matter. You should have checked. Is it not chicken egg? You never can tell. Now, is that kind of attitude with which I say things like, you just say something about the witches and that. As God is my witness, I'm not aware you pray about such things. No, really, really. The reason being that I am so persuaded. Now, it's now I'm realizing the reason why I'm so persuaded. It's a matter of information. Are you getting my point? Over time, I have studied the word of God to realize that, listen, nothing on earth happens, all right, without God, all right, allowing it. One. And he said, the very hair on my head, they are numbered. Are you getting the point I'm making? The very hair. So, and then he said that we are seated with him in heavenly places, above all, far above all principalities. And now, you see, I don't know. I learned these things in the university. It's part of my life. I don't even remember to confess it. I have power against witches. What is my own with witches? The ones that want to die early should make me their personal enemy. You know, there are people I feel sorry for. I don't know them, but I just know that once in your heart you dislike me, you can't prosper in life. Are you getting my point? And all my enemies, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rise up against them. Ah, me? Rise up against people that are not important? You know those who I rise up against? Those who are standing against the propagation of the gospel. Are you getting my point? In the path of my ministry, I'm rising up against ignorance. Are you getting my point? The ones that are holding people I'm supposed to teach in bondage, I rise up against them. All the religious spirits that don't let people hear the word of God, I rise up against them. But my personal warfare is lived in the realm of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, you see, having understanding of that, you just say, make statements, even on radio, and you don't even realize that these are weighty words. You are getting the point I'm making? That was the way the centurion approached Jesus Christ and said, what's the big deal? You are going where, to my house? It's not necessary. Can't you speak the word here? Sorry, I don't. I thought that you're the big guy. If you speak the word here, something will happen now. No, really. No, I believe. All right? That is because the man had experience. Okay? And he understood that spiritual things work by authority. And if the, and in the realm of the spirit, there is no distance. Now, why did I bring this matter up? Now, you see that I make such statements boldly. Now, listen to this. Without thinking about them, because my heart has received the truth about them. Do you get my point? My heart has already received the truth about them. So I make such statements boldly without really thinking about them. What I mean is that faith is just in the heart. Let me say this. The persuasion I have about that information is what matters when I'm speaking. Oh, how do I say this now? Something happened to one of my friends some time ago. Their son died, all right? He was ill, and then he died. And then she told me that later, a neighbor came to her house and said, Sorry, I just want you to know that woman, there's another person living near them, that woman is a witch. They say, actually, she's the one that used her witchcraft to kill your son. And my friend started laughing. She laughed and laughed and laughed and couldn't stop. I said, listen, madam, don't worry. No witch can kill my son. Listen to this. The boy had died. All right? But even at that point, you couldn't persuade her that a witch did it. Why? Because she understood the same things that I understand. Are you getting my point? Do you know the interesting part? That was what Jesus told his disciples. He walked up to them. He began to teach them, look, very soon you'll see this happen, this will happen, and that will happen. And then you'll see the Son of Man delivered up, is beaten, and all of that. He now said that, I want you to know ahead of time that I laid down my life of myself. No one takes it away from me by force. Are you getting my point? And after that, I will take it up again. Are you getting my point? He said, this commandment I have received from my Father. He was explaining to them that because people will have thought. He said, the prince of this world comes. He has nothing in me. He said, but that the world might know that I love the Father. He said, I laid down my life of myself. Do you get my point? He had to explain to the disciples ahead of time. So even though they saw this man killed, they saw him beaten, they saw him hung on the cross until he died, he warned them ahead of time, don't let any Satan come and tell you they overpowered me. He said, what happened was that I laid down my life, what? By myself. Same thing my friend was saying. He said, listen, I know my son died. He said, but for your information, no witch has the power. They don't transgress near my compound. As for the death of the boy, it's between the Lord and I. Are you getting me? But for the witches, let them not deceive you. They want to use that one to scare you. How did she know that? Simple, imbibing spiritual truth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Are you getting my point? Now, so I'm bringing out this issue here. See, when faith is in the heart, it is just there. I don't know how to explain what I'm going to say. So when this occasion arises, you will just believe without really thinking about believing. You are getting the point? That is, faith is not, oh God, it's not a last minute conjuring the heart. Come on, join your hands, close your eyes. Don't let any distraction come. We want to believe right now. That one is not believing. No. Listen, faith grows in the heart persistently as God puts in spiritual information into a heart that you have opened to God. Let me go back to the beginning so that I can close with that. Now, this is what I want you to understand. I said something at the beginning that, listen, there are things that are what? Fruits. There are things that are roots. We have established that faith is what? A fruit. What is the root? Let me just explain this. He said, this is the fruit of the spirit. Faith is the fruit of the spirit. So actually, there is something that the Bible refers to there as the spirit, which is what? The root. Are you getting my point? I don't know how to define it properly. I don't. As I speak, I pray that the understanding will be communicated to you. So let me just talk, all right? I'll just talk. At the end of the day, you will grab it. Say amen if you believe that. All right. Now, let's start from Esau. That would be a good place to start. Don't forget, last week I said, why did the widow of Zarephath have faith? It was because normally she would give anyway. She had love in her heart towards people. Are you getting my point? Now, let's go back to Esau. Why could Esau not see the value of the birthright? Because basically in his heart, it was a godless person who did not depend on God. Are you getting the point? Therefore, God withdrew from him the ability to see the birthright, the importance of the birthright. Every understanding of your purpose in life that God imparts into your life, okay, into your heart, that you walk by, is a template for God to build faith into your heart. Let me explain that further. That is, I've said again and again that life is an assignment. Actually, I started today with that point, that you must understand in life that, listen, you are not here to enjoy stuff. You are here to impact this generation for God, so that along the way, God blesses you and then you enjoy things, but that's not the reason why you are here. Let me explain this to you. If you just believe that, just mere believing that statement and accepting it, because you see, you must understand something, that when you accept that, you are rejecting something else. I don't know whether you get my point. There are decisions you wanted to take. All right? As soon as you heard that statement, you realize that those decisions were just being taken out of personal comfort. That, in fact, you are going to drop in your ability to bless people. So maybe you are just going to get more money than you used to get. And instantly, you reject the opportunity to earn more money. Are you getting my point? Let me give this illustration. I used this one for them at Glory Christian Center the other day. As I was speaking, the thing just came to my mind. I was talking with a friend of mine who said that he doesn't have money, so he thinks that maybe he should leave Nigeria. And this guy is earning almost twice what I'm earning, and we are on the same level, all right? Now, I made a statement. I said, hey, wait, listen. It is not because I am lazy. Are you getting my point? That I'm not earning as much. It is because, of course, we all have 24 hours. You sleep, you take care of other things, your family and all of that. In the working hours that you have, I said, I have dedicated. Now, please, I'm not complaining. Are you getting my point? I'm not complaining at all. I said, I have dedicated a huge chunk of my time to do something that nobody pays me for. I said, I just made that statement in passing. I said, so it's not out of laziness that I know what to do to virtually double my income also. That is, that God not hindering you, because God can hinder you. Are you getting my point? God can decide that, okay, you want to look for money, come now, start. As you mount the ox, you go to jam wall. You see the road now, the ass will be jamming the wall and jamming the wall. That is God personally hindering somebody. God can open a door and no one can shut it, and he can also shut a door and no one can open it. You will get that point. But I'm just looking on the natural level, what Solomon we call under the sun. I said, under the sun, I know what to do to maybe double what I'm earning right now, materially speaking. I said, but do you know why I can't even do that? Paul, again, from Philippians chapter 2. He said, though our outward man is perishing, I'm combining many scriptures. He said, but if it is for the strengthening of your faith, in that we rejoice. Are you getting my point? I said, when I noticed that, despite the fact that I could have used this time to earn money, but listen, money cannot buy the satisfaction I get from the testimonies from the mouth of those that are blessed with the word of God. It's not possible. Are you getting my point? Now listen to this. Listen to this. You have that kind of attitude. When God wants to give you the wealth of Solomon, he will personally open your eyes to see the wealth of Solomon so that you can believe it and receive it. That is the work in the spirit. We are contrasting Esau with Jacob. Jacob, this is how it is. That is, for having a heart that truly loves the Lord and is ready to sacrifice for the service of the Lord. You are getting what I'm going to say? That is selling itself completely to the service of the Lord. God said, fine. Then I open his eyes. Then he sees what Esau can never see. Are you getting my point? Jacob desired greatness. But there is something about him that, look, listen, that's the same thing about David. David also, no, there's nobody that doesn't desire greatness. Anybody says that, look, me, I don't desire, just when the person has a spiritual problem, don't let him look humble to you. Are you getting my point? Listen, we are not Hindus, or what they call them, Buddhists. Paul said it's actually an evil thing to take delight in punishing the flesh. It is not Christian. It's not a Christian attribute to take delight in punishing. That's how this fasting, your stomach perforates. God is my witness. I will never participate. If I am hungry any time in the midst of a fast, I eat. I'm sorry. This is not even good. I'm getting up. No, listen. I have considered the distraction of hunger more powerful than that of a cook. I'm serious. In hindering the spirit, just a glass of juice. What is the big deal? It is the focus on the spirit that God is asking for. I don't know whether you get my point. Ah, okay. Now, how did I get there? Oh, the Lord is good. So I'm talking about not people just desire. Look, listen. The only thing is that, as a true soldier, are you getting my point? There are things that are hindrances. Therefore, as you are, you know, I explained this to us before, that there's what is called the spirit of a man who bears infirmity. But a broken spirit, who can bear? Can you remember that scripture? Say, the spirit of a man who bears infirmity. You see Kanu Wanko or Okocha or Drogba, all those guys. When they are running for a ball. Is that okay? Then you give them a stud, you know, a rough tackle. The guy falls down. If he was running on the road and you gave him that stud, that rough tackle, and he fell down, you know, he'll call police for you. You know, because it's very, very painful. But on the football field, you know, it doesn't feel any pain. As soon as the guy hits the floor, it's up again. My enemies, even though I fall 7 times, I shall rise again. Defender, you can bring me down, I'm jumping after the ball. Why? The quest in his heart to score that goal is bearing his infirmity. That's the scripture. When he said the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity, that is his drive for the goal, all right, makes him ignore the pain. That is what Christians do. We don't punish the flesh for the sake of punishing the flesh. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The punishing of the flesh does not in any way, all right, improve our spirituality. But what happens is that sometimes we have to endure hardship, not incur hardship. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Not bargain for hardship, but do what? Endure it. That is, it must be as you are pursuing a goal. You don't just wake up in the morning. How many of you watch Mufasa, Lion King? The boy went to look for trouble. The father said, what was your problem? Going to the hyenas then. He said, I wanted to be brave, just like you. Ah! The man said, being brave does not mean you go looking for trouble. He said, I'm only brave when I have to be. You understand the Christian and the flesh now? And hunger and fasting? When Paul said that we went through many fastings, it didn't mean we declared a fast. It meant that we'll be on the ship, and there's no water to drink, no food to eat. But we endure that to get to where we are going so we can preach the gospel. That is in many fastings. is not the declaration of 40-day fast. That's not what I was talking about. That we will get to certain places, we have no ministry support, nobody's giving us money, but we don't run because we are there to preach. And when we see the preaching going on, we'll finish preaching. God no go even supply small food. But next day, do we say, hey, we did it yesterday, so we are going away? No. Next morning, we start again. That is, we endure fastings. Fasting does is not always declared. Fasting sometimes are spontaneous. You know what they call your breakfast? Breakfast? Because sleep made you fast the whole night. In the morning, you break the fast. Are you getting my point? No, that's the way it is. So when Paul talks about in fastings, it doesn't mean declaring 40-day fast. Oh God, help me to say this without injuring people. It's a waste of time. Oh God, please. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Now, let's get back to the main thing now so that I can close, please, so that we can get out of here. So now, this is what I'm trying to say. Now, when a woman has that attitude, all right, with a spirit that is going for the goal of God, do you get my point? Then along the line, that's what I was trying to say. Like Jacob would begin to have understanding of the importance of the birthright. Something that Esau, with all his hard work, can't see. Because once you have visions, I told you before, your faith is unshakable. So the ability to see is what God begins to give that heart that's working with. You know, I said it before. That is, as you are working with God, that God begins to train you up in faith. Don't forget where we are going to. Listen, that faith is just there. Once you hit that place, whatever it is now, listen, even in your wildest imagination, it is not possible for that thing not to happen. Whatever it is that you can conceive. There is no other way to have faith built up in your heart than to focus on learning the things of the Spirit. You know, Paul said, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said like this, he said, concerning the things of the Spirit, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. That is, the assignment of the Christian is to start learning the things of the Spirit. That is how faith gets built up in your heart. How did I acquire faith that doesn't, you know, I can't stand prayer meetings. There are prayer meetings I can't go for. In fact, truly, most prayer meetings, I don't like them. I have been to prayer meetings. The next prayer point we have for this night is that we want to pray that as we begin to do our business this week, no evil shall befall us and no problem shall come near our dwelling place. Let us begin to pray. And you know, I try. You know, see me to the, after a while, I pause. But that's a statement of fact now. No evil shall befall you and neither shall any plague come near your dwelling place. Why don't you just thank God for that and bring up another prayer point? I don't know whether you get my point. Once I went to Winners in Lagos, went for school of ministry. One brother was leading prayers. And he will lead prayers powerfully. And I didn't know my hands were crossed like this. My hands were crossed like this. And I was just speaking gently under my breath. And after the prayer session ended, one sister on my right tapped me and said, excuse me, which church do you attend? Do you attend the church? I said, I just came for school of ministry. He said, yes, because I noticed that when we were praying, when people were really, really praying, your hands were crossed. And like, I wanted to tell her, I said, madam, you don't know what the problem is. His prayer point didn't make sense to me. But I couldn't tell her that. I wanted to tell her that, madam, sorry, I'm not angry with the whole prayer, but that guy's prayer point didn't make sense. Let me tell you, I remember this one very well. He said, pray that all the word you will hear today, the birds of the air won't come and take it away from your heart. Plead the blood of Jesus over your heart. I thought for a moment, there's one thing Bishop Oyedepo used to call spiritual calculus. So I did my spiritual calculus. Sometimes it's not good to know too many things. I said, listen, you are quoting the parable of Jesus Christ, Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13. All right? And I think Luke 8, when he said that some, the words dropped by the wayside, they didn't, and then the birds of the air came and picked it. You didn't know that he said by the wayside. I don't know whether you get my point. I feel like by the wayside. Do I look like a by the wayside person? By the wayside. By the wayside. No, I'm sorry. But my attitude was that. Then the interpretation of Jesus Christ was that These are those that heard the word and did not understand it. Eh? Is that not so? And he said, give attention that you may gain understanding. I want to tell the mother, do you know how many days of work? I've been telling my chief for 2 months to give me leave for these 3 days. I take 3 buses to get here. I wake up at 6 a.m. Do I look like the kind of person Satan wants to pick the word from his heart? As God is my witness. That's what I was thinking when he was saying, plead the blood over your heart. I just said, it's not necessary, sir. Tell Satan to come. As God is my witness, that was the attitude with. And you know, I wasn't saying this to anybody. I was just alone there. I was just like this, all right, Father, we'll give you thanks. It's be a good day today. The word is coming forth. I thank you. I've come this way, Lord. You will bless me. I thank you for the word. So, and I was just saying that like this. Because I wasn't fighting, so my fist was not going out. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I will rebuke you. You will die today. And because it was an attitude of thanksgiving. I am sorry. Now, I wasn't discussing this with anybody. I was just on my own, you know. So my hands were just like this. I didn't know somebody was watching me like, hey, this one is not praying. This one is not praying like everybody else. Eh? Yeah, because in my mind, I felt like the prayer point, as God is my witness, was unnecessary. That if we had to pray any prayer, we should go to Ephesians chapter 1 and pray that God will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that all the word that is coming forth today will be able to grab and understand them. Because he that understands it is not a candidate for the chopping up by birds of the air. He's not a candidate. And listen, without understanding, plead the blood of the Lamb and the blood of Jesus and the resurrected Christ, the body of Christ, together. Satan, once you just finish pouring the blood, you wait for the blood to finish washing, then you come back and collect the... Why? Because they have not yet penetrated into the heart. Listen to me. You think my prayer was not answered? My own prayer was answered. Part of the reason why you are here today is because those prayers were answered. There was a day I went for a meeting like that. This one... Later on, I understood that it was the Spirit of God. Lande Adeboye, that's the man's name, he preached on the message he called Year After Year. You've heard me talk about the power of purpose. How to, you know, purpose. The first time I heard any message in that regard was Lande Adeboye preaching on Year After Year. When he talked about, in fact, if you heard me talk on 1 Samuel chapter 1 about Hannah and the birth of Samuel and all of that, apart from light added here and there, okay? The basic light upon which I founded most of the things I preached in that area was given that day. I heard it from Larry Adeboye's mouth. He said that this woman was going year after year to Shiloh to go and sacrifice. Now, he summarized it by saying that until she discovered the purpose of God, when her husband said that, am I not better than 10 sons to you? I said the woman understood the meaning of the word 10 sons. That 10 sons is not necessarily 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That 10 sons can be one son. That is a son that stands out amongst the multitude. The man described all of that. They now began to talk about the purpose of God in our individual lives. Man, few messages in life has moved me like that one that day. And at the end, we rose up to pray. And we began to pray. Like, you know the normal prayer now, trust brethren. Me too, I joined because the message was powerful. Hi! I was like, yeah, Satan, you don't hear today. You will never derail me again. The purpose of God in my life, hey! Bros, as I stood up, you know, as I was, you know, as I was bouncing, ready for the bouts, for them to ring the bell, then suddenly, there was a voice in my spirit. It was afterwards I understood what happened, because this was exactly what happened physically. I just stood there. A thought just came up in my heart. Like, what are you doing? So, we want to pray that this word to have effect. The next thing was that, do you believe everything the man has said? I said, I do. He said, then sit down. I looked at my left and I sat. And as God is my witness, I didn't utter a word of prayer. You know what I understood? Oh my God, how do I say this? It said in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, it said, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to by itself divide. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Then I understood that as Peter was still speaking, Before he could make an altar call, the Holy Spirit fell upon the whole house of Cornelius. That as Paul was preaching, he saw that that young man had faith to be healed. And he just said, "You rise up." Then I understood what the Lord was teaching me. That as the word was going on, are you getting my point? The wrong heart attitude was being filed away. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen to me, as God is my witness, since then till now, every decision I have made in life has been centered around the fact that Kingdom Word Ministries must fill the whole of the globe with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I didn't have the name Kingdom Word that time. Even to the point of which kind of woman do you want to marry? I said, my wife must believe I can preach. Like, fine like Jezebel. You hear? Like me, like fish likes water. If while I'm preaching, the word doesn't move you, you are not of God, you are of Satan. No, it's so important. That is why, if I don't want to do something, now I'm not saying I do this as a bad thing. Once I tell my wife that, sorry, we can't travel because I'm going to preach. You know, that journey is canceled. That, you know, it is never discussed. If I say, let us sell all that we have and give to the propagation of the gospel, my wife will not even utter a word of resistance. You know why? Because since the day Larry Adeboye spoke, I have never been able to make judgment because he brings money. As God is my witness, I am not lying. The Holy Spirit, now I realize, was the Holy Spirit. He said, do you understand everything he said? I said, yes. He said, then keep quiet and sit down. And I literally, in fact, anybody watching me will have wondered what happened. Because like I told you, I had gotten up like, oh yeah, start. Satan, oh, we don't ready for you today. Then suddenly I stopped and sat. What I have said so far about faith is that, listen, your heart must start going out for the knowledge of spiritual workings if your heart will be able to appreciate faith in God. Do you get my point? One of the greatest revelations I've had in recent time, which I'm teaching every young man who I know will be very rich in life, is that one of time and chance. We have decided here by understanding that time and chance describe constellation of angels. You know that? It's not just events that happen suddenly. No. We know that time and chance will happen to Joshua every time he circles Jericho. Why? Because there are angels on top ready to sing the wall. Are you getting my point? So Jericho does not have to worry about when will RJ Letourneau produce bulldozers. In another 5,000 years, no. We know that time and chance will happen to this world. That's a knowledge of spiritual understanding. Are you getting my point? You won't have it except you reach out for it. It's important. The only way you fail to be built in your heart is for you to understand that there is a realm that is beyond the natural.